Each year, in the sixth week of Eastertide, we keep the three Rogation days on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The word Rogation is from a Latin verb, rogare, meaning to pray. In Rogation Tide, we pray to God for the crops that are being planted. We ask that God will provide the right balance of sun and rain and moderate temperature in order to produce a bountiful harvest. There's an ancient custom in Rogation Tide of processing along the boundaries of the geographic parish, moving among the farms and fields and offering prayers. This is the source of our annual Rogation procession, when on this Sunday we process around the churchyard and stop at the four compass points offering prayers. But sadly, for the second year, it is not possible for us to do this because of the continuing pandemic. But I fervently hope that we will be able to resume our Rogation procession next year. Rogation Tide reminds us that we are part of creation, that humanity is not above or apart from the created order. God is the author of all things, birthing into being everything that exists, and humanity is part of this web of creation. We are given a special role as stewards of everything that God makes. God calls us to care for all of creation, to share in God's work as co-creators with God. It is fitting in this Rogation Tide that in our gospel today, Jesus continues that image we first heard last Sunday. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. God is the vine grower, giving the growth. We are connected to Jesus, his life flowing through us. Apart from him, there is no life. In today's gospel, Jesus calls us to abide in God's love. This is a beautiful image, an image of resting secure in God, of knowing that we are loved by God. Through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God is present with us always, dwelling within us, breathing in and through us, sustaining and nurturing us. God's Spirit gives us life, just as the life flows from the vine of a plant to its branches. Jesus assures us that he loves us and calls us to abide in his life, in his love, and for us to then love as he loves. Jesus calls this his new commandment, a commandment he gives at the Last Supper when he washes his disciples' feet. We are commanded by Jesus to do likewise, to love one another as he loves us. In her post on the blog Journey with Jesus, a post titled "It's All About Love," Debbie Thomas writes, on the face of it, and I quote, "On the face of it, this is a weird commandment. Can we be ordered to love? Does love obey decrees? Most of us would say no. Shaped as we are by Hollywood films and romance novels, we usually think of love as spontaneous and free-flowing. We fall in love. Love is blind. It happens at first sight. It breaks our heart, and its course never runs smooth." Unquote. Typically, we understand love as an emotion. We feel love. We talk of falling in love with someone, of love sweeping us up, being beyond our agency and control. We understand love as being reciprocal, returned in response to the love that we extend. Love is understood to be the connection that binds a family together. And for some of us, love is that bond among those who are a chosen family, a family not linked by blood. While all these experiences of love are important and meaningful for us, this is not primarily the love Jesus commands. Jesus calls us to actually something more demanding, to a more demanding way. It is the call to love as he loves, with love so great it doesn't count the cost It even includes laying down one's life as Jesus did. The love of Jesus is not something we can earn or deserve. His love does not require reciprocity. He simply loves. The love of Jesus is life-giving, calling forth our full personhood, our full humanity, realizing God's intentions for each person. The love of Jesus is strong. It defeats the dehumanizing and death-wielding forces of this world. Jesus' love overcomes evil and injustice, freeing all people from oppression. This is the love to which we are called as followers of the risen Jesus. So it's no wonder Debbie Thomas calls this the weirdest commandment. We rarely think we can command love, ordering others or ourselves to love. It's hard to imagine love of those who do not return our love. This kind of love does not come naturally to us. It doesn't come easily. It requires that we suspend our human impulses for getting our own way, from asking about what's in it for me about a situation. It calls us away from our individualism, greed, and our suspicion and fear of others. The only way we can hope to live this command is by the power of God. Abiding in Jesus, who is the source of all love, we then are filled with the love flowing forth from the Trinity. The Trinity's love flows outward from the three divine persons of the Godhead, flowing outward towards humanity. God's love fills us, in fact, fills us to overflowing, so the divine love spills from us, flowing out to others. Abiding in the love of Jesus, just as the branch is connected to the vine, we then can hope to love as Jesus loves, to love with a love stronger than death, with a love that overcomes the evils of this world, with a love that calls forth the dignity and freedom, the full personhood of all people. The love of Jesus is not an emotion, but rather a choice, made moment by moment. It is a way of life. This love is the habitual practice of desiring the best for each person we encounter. It is the discipline of seeing in each person the abiding presence of Jesus, recognizing within them the Spirit of God dwelling in them, just as in us. It requires that we treat everyone as beloved children of God. This love of Jesus shapes and forms and transforms us into people who love much, who can't help but love, and who work for the well-being of all people and of creation, who labor to overturn unjust and evil systems of our world. The power of God's love transforms those first followers of Jesus. After his death and resurrection, the disciples leave behind forever their locked rooms, setting aside their fear, and they become the presence of the risen Jesus in the world. In the world, they do his work. They do the very things that he did. And they wrestle with the life-changing implications of the wide, inclusive love of Jesus. In our first lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, Peter preaches that God shows no partiality. Human divisions and boundaries fall away by God's all-embracing love. Just before the passage we hear today, the book of Acts tells about Cornelius, who is a faithful Gentile. Cornelius prays, and while he's praying, he has a vision that tells him to send for the apostle Peter, and so he does. At that very same moment, Acts tells us that Peter is hungry, he is praying, and he also has a vision. In his vision, Peter sees a sheet that is lowered. On that sheet are unclean animals, those animals that the law forbids eating. Peter hears a voice telling him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter replies, he has never eaten anything that is unclean or profane, anything that is forbidden by the law. The voice says to Peter, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. Peter experiences this vision not once, but three times. A sign to Peter that this is important, that he should pay attention to this vision. While Peter's having this vision, the men sent by Cornelius arrive. They find Peter and they bring him with them. When Peter arrives in Joppa to meet Cornelius, we're told that he preaches. And while he's preaching, he witnesses that the Holy Spirit falls on Gentile hearers. Peter understands in this moment that God is doing something new and unexpected in bestowing the Holy Spirit on Gentiles. And so in response to God's action, Peter baptizes the Gentiles, making them members of the community of Christ's body. This was a radical action for Peter, and it caused tension within the church. Peter himself, we see in the book of Acts, struggles with the implications of this action and of what God is doing by welcoming Gentiles to the church. Despite the tension and the struggle, the Holy Spirit does something new through Peter, through Cornelius, and changes the church forever, widening its welcome. God's love breaks through and shatters human boundaries, transforming the followers of the risen Jesus. Jesus calls us to follow his commandment, the commandment to love one another as profoundly and as deeply as he does. So profoundly and deeply as he loves us. This is only possible for us by abiding in Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, allowing God's love to flow into us, to fill us, and then to overflow from us to all people. If we cut ourselves off from Jesus, rejecting his invitation to abide in him, we become like the branch that is cut from the vine and that withers and dies. Without the life of the vine flowing through it, the branch cannot live, let alone bear fruit. Like that branch, if we abide in Jesus, the love of God flows deeply, flows freely in us, and we can't help but bear fruit, the fruit of loving others as Jesus loves us. Abiding in God's love bears much fruit in us and wells up even to eternal life. Living this way, the joy of Jesus will be in us so that our joy is made complete. The inclusive, boundary-breaking love of God is stronger even than the forces of this world. The love of Jesus is large enough and strong enough to embrace all people. And it is so abundant that it never runs out. May we always abide in God's love, so that through our witness in both word as well as deed, others may come to know God's abundant, life-changing, life-bestowing love. Amen.